Thank you for our time of worship. Am I on, Marv? Yeah. Says I am. Thank you for that time of worship this morning, worship team. Really appreciate it. And can I say something that I hope you don't take it as mere flattery that I'm trying to get you to like me or something, because Joe and I just want to thank you for allowing us to come. We've been here a number of times, and each time we come back, we just feel so welcome, and we feel like we're just part of the family, right? And it's so good to be here with you, and we mean that from the bottom of our heart. This morning, we're going to be looking into God's Word. We're going to be continuing that series that Pastor Jason is in Ecclesiastes. It's not a book that I have preached very much from, and I found it quite a challenge, yet quite rewarding study. And we are going to be talking about wisdom this morning. We're going to be talking about godly wisdom. And we're going to at least touch on worldly wisdom a little bit and the contrast between the two. So that's what we're going to be doing. But before we open up that portion of Scripture, I'd like to read a small portion of Scripture to you to help us to ponder the height and the depth and the width, not only of God's love, but His wisdom. The wisdom that is available to you and to me. And this portion of Scripture is found in Romans 11, verses 33 to 36. And just ponder this as I read it to you. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we love You as we have been singing this morning, expressing our love to our Lord and to our Savior. And we love Your Word. It points us to Jesus. It reveals God to us. And these words that we have just read, Lord, more as a often used as a doxology, really are words of life and truth that reinforce our faith and our hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Lord, You know, as I've been praying in private, You know I'm probably the most unqualified person to stand here and talk about wisdom. Yet You have preordained this moment. You have brought us here together for the express purpose to hear from You. Lord, if there's ever a time in history, perhaps I'm mistaken, but it certainly feels, Lord, like it's today where we need to hear from You, Lord. We need Your wisdom. We need Your strength. And we are comforted by the fact that You are our Heavenly Father and You have adopted us into the family of God. And we thank You for that. For it has been only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we stand. So, Lord, here we are, weak but strong in you. Thank you, because as we sang earlier, you are faithful and true and loving and good all the time. And God's people said, amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to take out those Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I'll be preaching from the NIV this morning, so just to orientate you to the text. The title of the message is A Word to the Wise, and the theme of it is how our faith can endure in a post-Christian culture. We need wisdom to navigate these days, don't we? Every moment of every day, we need God's wisdom. And the whole purpose of this message is to encourage us to depend upon godly wisdom in an increasingly ungodly world. In July of 2008, the world-famous geneticist William French Anderson was convicted of child molestation charges. In a press conference, this is what his attorney said. He said, "Nothing about having a 176 IQ means you have good judgment." It's good to know, because wisdom does not depend upon how high our intellect is. I believe wisdom comes directly from our dependence upon God for His wisdom. As I mentioned before, there are two kinds of wisdom. There is the worldly wisdom that has nothing to do with IQ, but it has a way of trying to discern the situation and come to a quick fix, or a fix that satisfies me. Whereas godly wisdom is most centered around the person of Christ and His will for our life. How many tragic stories have we heard in the news, or have we have seen over our time, where people have been drawn in by fame and fortune and used worldly wisdom to manage their affairs of life, and they have been sadly disappointed and quickly taken down. Worldly wisdom, you see, lives for the here and the now. It craves a unquenchable desire for pleasing self and immediate gratification. But ultimately, wisdom without God comes to a tragic dead end. It always crashes and burns. See, this world is passing away. A world that rejects Christ will crash and burn. We could say a lot more about worldly wisdom, but we have to move on, because I want to get to the good stuff, and that's godly wisdom. We could talk for hours, I think, about how bad things are today, but that's not why I came, and it's not what you want to hear either. Worldly wisdom, as they say, is wisdom under the sun. Disregards God, it's godless. But the kind that we're focusing on today is the godly wisdom that is given to us by God. Imagine that. And he gives us this wisdom, this godly wisdom, to help us navigate through this life, to make wise choices, so that we might live and prosper and to know him better. The psalmist writes this. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So much godly wisdom is available to us on a daily, moment-by-moment basis when Christ dwells within us, the hope of glory. There's a lot of wisdom in this old song, too. Now, it even comes before the 80s, Rob. But it says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey." Simple words. Simple words, but oh so powerful and so needed today. And I think that's maybe one of the dilemmas of the Christian life. Sometimes we trip up on those simple things. We forget them or take them for granted. We walk with the Lord in the light of his word, the Holy Spirit, and the word of God with us as we navigate through this world of ours. And I guess what it all boils down to is this. Do we have faith in the trustworthiness of God? Or, when it really comes down to it, would we rather put our trust in our own wisdom? Say, "I got this one, Lord. I know better." I think that's what it comes down to in my life. I could tell some old stories, but I won't go there this morning, just for the sake of time. But I love how the Lord, even when we have made past mistakes, he is so willing to forgive us, to pick us up, that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to continue to walk in his wisdom. So the question, the big question I want to try and answer, at least in part this morning, is how can I stand strong in a world like ours and live my life with godly wisdom? I'm going to try and answer that for us today. We want to look at the first point, and that is to seek and find wisdom. To seek and find wisdom. Look at verse 8 in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. It said, "Who is like the wise man? Who knows the explanation of things? Wisdom brightens a man's face and changes its hard appearance." Ah, yes. I still see, Joanne and I were married about a year, just over a year. We were not Christians by any means. I was running so hard the other way until I ran into that proverbial brick wall. And I came to faith in Christ. He saved me one night when I realized my position apart from Christ. And that struck a holy fear in me that I didn't want to die in that condition. And about a week later, as the Lord had prearranged this, Joanne went to a women's conference. I think it was Women's Globe. And she went and heard Kay Arthur, Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you may know those names. But anyways, when I went to pick her up, I just had to take one look at her face. You know what I saw? I saw Jesus in her face. His glory was shining through. His wisdom, if you want to say it that way, was shining through. And it was beautiful. Still is. You know how I threw that in, Joe? Still beautiful face. Okay. Who is like the wise man? Who knows the explanation of things? Who is like the wise man? The wise man that comes into my mind is Jesus. Who knows the explanation of things? Jesus. He was there before the creation of the world, so he's got all of the answers, all of the wisdom. He knows how to hang the stars in space. To hang the world at such distance from the sun so that it doesn't freeze up if it's too far away from the sun, or burn up if it got too close to the sun. God's infinite wisdom. This wisdom brightens a man's face and changes its hard appearance. This is what Christ does in a person's life when they give their lives to Him. You see, we live in a spiritually fallen world, and we need God's wisdom to navigate through it. We are prone to wander, as the song says, prone to trust our own wisdom, as I mentioned before. But the book of Proverbs warns us about this mistake of choosing our own wisdom or worldly wisdom. When he writes this, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. That abrupt end. Apart from God. I've been watching a series about the Vietnam War. I'm just fascinated with the courage of these men and women who went over to Vietnam and fought in a world that was like 8,000 miles away from their hometown. The Vietnam War, in case you didn't know, began to ramp up in about 1964. And it went on into the early 70s. I believe it's 1973. But as I watch this series, I marvel at these soldiers 24/7 when they would be out on patrol, especially at night. They would have to be extremely careful where they walked, because hidden in the path or on the road or in the path in the jungle floor, there would be hidden booby traps and landmines. If they became careless, if they got off the beaten path a little bit, they would discover, or they might step on, a landmine that would cause not only harm to them, but could cause their death and perhaps the death of their fellow soldiers as well. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not an alarmist, but I want you to know that beyond a doubt, we are in a spiritual battle today. 2020 is not leading us to nirvana. We are in a spiritual battle, and we must be on our toes. We cannot afford to ease up our alertness one iota. You know, as I was thinking about this point and this message, is that in my lifetime, I've seen a lot of good soldiers go down. I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I've seen it. And it's sad. But only by the grace of God do I remain, and do you remain. We need to be alert. There are landmines, booby traps on our way. But just follow Christ. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Our verse in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 1, has us look at a person whose face is bright and alive. And what's the reason for the bright appearance of his countenance? The source of godly wisdom within. That is, really comes to Colossians 1, verse 27 again. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It isn't that the heart's desire over our Christ wants our heart's desire to be Him. He's the object of our worship. And as we worship Him, so our face begins to shine with His glory that dwells within. Godly wisdom changes a man or a woman from the inside out by the power of God. And you might argue with me perhaps a little bit, maybe a little bit of pushback here. But money does not buy happiness. It does not buy wisdom. But godly wisdom leads a believer along and through whatever life throws at him. There isn't anything that we can't go through that is too difficult for us if we are walking with Christ and we are allowing Him to dwell within us. It's limitless wisdom we're talking about because it comes from an infinite God. You know, godly wisdom compels a person to really dig into God's Word, to know Christ better. To really hear His voice. Wisdom will cause the believer to lean on Jesus' name and trust Him, even when life doesn't make sense, and even when life does make sense and life is good. Because there's landmines when life is good, too. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Wisdom calls us to trust Him. Church, if we could nail this down as individuals, if we could really nail this down, where we depend upon God's wisdom, where we say we're not going to take one more step until we have heard from God. We are going to wait upon Him and allow Him to lead us. Oh, if I could go back and do a few decisions that I made without waiting for God. You too? The Bible says in James 1:5, where does this wisdom come from? Again, I'm emphasizing where it comes from. I know. But it says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. You think of the wonder of that? Just ponder that verse for a few moments. This wisdom that is God's wisdom, we can have it. All we have to do is ask. But you need to humble yourself enough to ask God for godly wisdom. And I think maybe that's, there's a sermon there too, isn't there? How pride gets in the way. This doesn't mean, by the way, when we have wisdom, when we've been given wisdom, it doesn't automatically mean, oh, we'll be able to skirt around our problems, or there won't be any problems in life. Of course there will. But the Lord will lead us through those problems to the other side. And we will see as we look back in our rear view mirror how good God is, how faithful God is. And our hearts will fill with thanksgiving because as we look back, we see God did this. He gave us wisdom to go through this for His glory. It's amazing to see the changes in a person's life when they surrender their will to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When they say, as our Savior said, Heavenly Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the call of every follower of Christ. To accept and obey the wisdom of God. So the question, how can I stand strong in a world that is so anti-Christ? The second point I want to address just for a moment is when we become increasingly less fixated on all that is wrong in the world and instead fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's go back to our text, and I want to read verses 8, and we'll go right to 10. We'll put it all together here. We'll just go to the end of 10. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, what are you doing? Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm, and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. For there is a proper time and a procedure for every matter, though a man's misery weighs heavily upon him. Since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come? No man has power over the wind to contain it, so no one has the power over the day of his death. As no one is discharged in time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. There is so much in this passage that we can't get to it all today. But I do want us to ponder a few moments about God's wisdom. I have an illustration of a man named N.T. Wright. And he was a theologian, a scholar, very brilliant, wrote many books, helped many people. And he was asked one day what he should tell his children on his deathbed. He said this without hesitation. He says, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He goes on to explain why. He said, the person who walks out of the pages of the Gospels to meet us is just central and irreplaceable. He is always a surprise. We never have Jesus in our pockets. He is always coming at us from different angles. If you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. If you want to know what it means to be human, look at Jesus. If you want to know what love is, look at Jesus. And go on looking until you're not just a spectator, but part of the drama that has him as the central character. Think what N.T. Wright is asking us as individual believers. And what he's asking the evangelical churches of today, am I still central? Are you still looking at me? I was thinking of, well, no, I won't go there, because it's criticizing, and it's too easy for an old man to get criticizing. But the point of this is, it's so easy for us to get distracted, isn't it? I mean, I can get very distracted just watching the evening news. Or going online and looking some of the news events. A new virus. Oh my, the sky is falling. We wonder, what on earth? And I don't know, maybe, perhaps I'm the only one that struggles with this kind of stuff. But my mind will get tossed to and fro about this and that. But eventually, by God's grace, I will remember. Where are my thoughts focused right now? Are they focused on Jesus? Or are they focused on all this stuff down here? I think that's what N.T. Wright was talking about. As I looked at Ecclesiastes 8, 2 to 10, especially verses 2 to 5, that mentions the king and his absolute authority over all of creation, I could not help but think of Jesus. I couldn't help but think of this text. And I would like to read this to you again to help us ponder the greatness of our God. It's found in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 5. We read these words. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that is at the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ponder who Jesus is and why we are to fix our eyes on Jesus instead of all of our woes in this world. Verse 8 of Ecclesiastes talks about our finite power. Our finite power. We do have limits. No man has power over the wind to contain it, so no one has the power over the day of his death. As no one is discharged in time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. We have limited power. Limited power to control things, situations that happen in the world, and we have limited power over governing other people as well. It's reminding us, really, that we aren't God. He is. In our hearts, there's only one throne. One throne. And like Bill Bright used to say, who's seated on the throne of your heart? It's either Christ seated on the throne, who is directing His will in your life, or it's you seated on your throne, demanding that everything serve you. There's only one God. He's sovereign over all creation. As it mentions there, we have no power to control the wind. I mean, the people in Nashville this week, they didn't have any control over the tornado that ripped through their town. All that was devastating. When my friend's wife passed away, we had no power to save her. But it was but God's will that He took her home. Do we understand it? No. But we're not God. Only God is. No one has the power over death. Oh, wait. There is one person, isn't it? And it's Jesus. Up from the grave He arose. Triumph over His foes. He arose a victor. Jesus. So the question should be then, shouldn't our eyes therefore, shouldn't our eyes be focused on Jesus then? If He is sovereign, if He is all-powerful, if He is almighty, shouldn't we look to Him, church? Remember on the Sea of Galilee, the disciples were really stressed. They thought they were going down to Davy Jones' locker, as they used to say, down to the bottom of the sea. But Jesus spoke to the winds and the waves, and they became quiet. He has the power over whatever storm comes into our life. Verse 9, very, very quickly, we're running through this as quickly as I can do it. All this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. There is a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt. Talks about the ancient battle of power struggles. Striving to control or rule over someone else. This evil struggle is based on worldly wisdom. And it's been going on since the day that man fell. And this struggle hurts, destroys, divides. It does not build up. It deconstructs, as the modern term is for it. Or as my grandchildren would say, it wrecks it like Wreck-It Ralph. I mean, here's an example of this. Look at what's going on in Canada and the U.S. right now. But while you're doing that, keep your eyes focused on Christ. But look at what's going on in the States, the political parties, all the different special interest groups fighting with each other, trying to lord it over the other person or the other groups, striving for control. And they'll stop at nothing to get it. And that's what concerns me. At what point will they just say, hey, let's work together? Look what's going on in Canada. Special interest groups blocking trains. I think last month there's 5 train derailments in Canada just from protesters. It doesn't do anybody any good. And think of Canada and the U.S., by the way. We should be on our knees with our hands lifted towards heaven with thanksgiving and praise, worshiping a God who has blessed us beyond any nation on the face of the earth. How wealthy we are, but we're still not satisfied. We got to have control too. Something's wrong. I think it's on our focus. We are now post-Christian nations that have rejected God, turned their back on Him, and have delved into and have sold themselves out to worldly wisdom. Why? This is all the poisonous fruit of worldly wisdom. And it's sad. And it seems to be getting worse and worse. But you see the contrast here between godly wisdom that transforms a person from the inside out to worldly wisdom that turns ugly. Verse 10, we're just about done, so hang in there. Then too, I saw the wicked buried, those who used to come and go from the holy place and receive praise in the city where they did this. This too is meaningless. When I read this, I was reminded myself that a lot that goes on in our world doesn't make a lot of sense. Sometimes the good aren't rewarded, and evil seems to be rewarded. But that's just under the sun. There is a day when we will stand before Christ and we will be rewarded or we will be judged. Look at Jesus. And perhaps you're saying right now, oh yeah, I've heard all of this before, blah, blah, blah. But church, we need to hear this with new ears and truly lean on Jesus and to call out to Him. Father, we need Your wisdom. And I believe wisdom's calling out to us this morning to see if there is anyone listening and obeying the Spirit's call to hear Jesus calling. Come to me. Come to me. Will you hear His call? Can we just have a time of prayer and then the worship team will come, I think, and lead us in closing worship. Thank you for hanging in there with me this morning. Father, if the folks in front of me are like me, there are times in our life where we think we've got it all together and we've got all the answers, and we don't. We don't. And so, Lord, here we stand before you in our poverty. And we cry out to you this morning and ask, Lord, for godly wisdom. Your wisdom, O God. Help us to listen to your still, small voice. Illuminate your word to us so that we might be guided by it on our path, so that we don't stand or step on any landmines. Lord, we love you, and with all of our hearts, we want to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. We want to exalt him and make his name known. Lord, but we can't do this in our own strength or in our own wisdom. We need you. So come, Lord. Come, heal us and fill us for your honor and for your name's sake. And God's people said, Amen. That's theirs.
Praise the Lord. His sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Sins they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. The sins they are many, His mercy is more. The sins they are many, His mercy is more. The sins they are many, His mercy.